Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And what a beautiful morning, isn't it? Wow, there's a lot of you this morning. Goodness me. I don't think I'll try and remember all your names. I've got a few intimations to make as well. Our Advent study group begins this week on Thursday. We'll meet from 7:30 till 9 in the manse, and the books that we're using to study are these ones, and I think there's still one or two at the back. So if you'd like to come and join our Bible study group, do please come along with that. I should probably have started with yesterday. What a fabulous day. Our Christmas fair, are you all sitting comfortably? Raised, you gonna guess how much money it raised? Yes. 2,000 and?
120.
Bit more. Sorry?
3,000.
Not quite, unless you'd like to give us an extra donation. 2,445 pounds and 30 pence. So a massive, massive thank you to everybody, especially the helpers. We had a wide variety of helpers this year. Although it's the Guild Christmas Fair, we had helpers from lots of different groups of people, especially some of the jigsaw leaders. And that was fantastic. And as a wee thank you to you, if any of the helpers who enjoyed themselves yesterday morning would like to come to the Guild party tomorrow evening, you would be very, very welcome. So that was just fantastic. But I can't thank you enough. The work that went into yesterday, and of course all the folk who came along. It was a brilliant, brilliant day. I think most of the other intimations are as printed, although I've got a couple of extras. The Haven are having their Christmas fair. Now, rather than competing for Saturdays, they've decided to have theirs on a Wednesday this year. So Wednesday, the 11th of December, so that's the day before we vote, round in the Haven. I'll get that poster up at the back. And I don't know if you remember your Pray Persistently leaflets that we gave out end of October, beginning of November, I think, and I asked you to read through them. There's a section for each day of the week to pray about a different part of our church, and then a section at the back for you to put answers in, if you hear God's answers. And there's now a box at the back, so if you've still got them, you've maybe forgotten about them because I haven't mentioned them for a few weeks, do please bring them back and put them in the box at the back, along with the surveys. Gosh, I think that's more than enough intimations for one morning, isn't it? What day is it today? Yes, Harris. 1st of December, yeah. Advent. It's the first Sunday in Advent as well, and our church is looking fantastic, isn't it? Yes, Callan. Advent calendars, yeah. Have you all been opening the first door on your Advent calendars? Have you opened number one? It's an exciting time, isn't it? So we're here to worship God, as we do every Sunday, but there's increasing excitement at the moment. God is love. We are all his beloved children, however old or young we are. And we can only love one another because he first loved us. And God's love is a perfect love which drives out fear. It's wonderful to be able to come and rejoice and worship God together. So let's say a few words from Psalm 122. We're just reading verse 1 and then verses 6 to 9. So the one that you'll read doesn't follow immediately after the one that I read. Just a wee pause in between. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Amen. Our first hymn is not quite a hymn. It's a bit of fun, really, and today we're just going to sing the first three verses, and then each week through Advent we'll add a few more. And it's sung, not quite sure if I should say this in church, but it's sung to the tune of "Oh, You Canny Shove Your Granny Off the Bus." The words will be up on the screen, or there are printed versions for those who can't see them. Are you going to play the tune through for us once, just to remind us, in case anybody doesn't know the tune? Well done, everybody. And next week we'll start at the beginning and we'll sing a few more verses. But now I've been telling you all the story of Christmas a little bit each week. The first week we talked about how Mary discovered that she was going to have a baby, and that baby was going to be God's son. And last week, what did we have in church last week? Yes. A baby. Was that what you were going to say, Laurel? And can you see he's here again this week? He's sound asleep, wee Arthur. So we've just sung about what happened next, really, because Jesus was born in, now Andrew told me it was an old shed. And someone else told me it was a stable. And so to this Sunday, because it's the beginning of Advent, we've got our old shed, our stable there. And we're going to invite you all to come forward and put the characters in the right place in the stable. Or are you going to help? Yeah. And as we're putting the characters in, I'm going to tell you a bit about the next thing that happened. On you go. Yes. Yeah. That they're all here, so come on out. And while baby Jesus was lying, sleeping in the manger, in the stable, out in the fields, there were some shepherds. And the shepherds were watching their flock. Watching their sheep, weren't they? Keeping a close eye on them. And then what happened? You've forgotten. Was it us? Oh, Kyle's got the answer. Hang on a minute.
It was the wise men.
They came later, actually, Kyle. But good answer. So what alerted? An angel, a whole host of angels actually, appeared to the shepherds. And the shepherds who'd been quietly watching their flocks went, "Ooh!" All these angels. And what did the angels say to the shepherds? Yes. Don't be frightened. Absolutely, that's what angels often seem to say to us, isn't it? Don't be frightened. And we're starting to see all the different characters coming into the stable now. Grace is doing a great job getting them in. And what did the angels tell the shepherds? A baby would be born. In Bethlehem, in an old stable. You've really been doing your homework. This is great. And that would bring great tidings of great joy and bring peace to the whole world. So what did the shepherds do next? Oh, you're going to be busy putting Mary in the stable. Yes, Kyle, what did the shepherds do? They went to the stable to see the baby, didn't they? And they bowed down before the baby. So I wonder, when you get up there, you can tell me if the shepherds are there yet. Okay? Three boys together. Up you go and pop that in the stable. Oh! And Katie and Callum are bringing baby Jesus. Let's pop him in the stable because we're talking about him being born, even though we're a few weeks early. Okay, well done. Baby Jesus, yeah. Oh, I see the shepherds there at the back. One of them's playing the pipe.
There you go, isn't well it? Done.
That was super. Thank you all very, very much. So we were looking for a Wayne in Bethlehem. And he was born in a stable because there was no room in the inn. And then the shepherds were out watching and the angel came and told them about this baby, this very, very special baby. So thank you all very much for helping me with the story. Shall we have a quick word of prayer? Loving, living God, we thank you so much for the story of Christmas, of how your son was born to Mary in a simple stable, and of the shepherds seeing the angel and then leaving their sheep and rushing to see this special baby and bowing down before him. Lord, we thank you that as we travel through Advent towards Christmas, we can all be alert and waiting in case an angel comes to us and tells us some exciting news. Help us all to get ready for Jesus coming into our lives. And let's say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I know you've all got some serious practicing to do, haven't you? Thank you. Yeah, I had forgotten. What do we always do on the first Sunday in Advent? Kyle. We light the candle of hope. Yeah, I think for such a full answer, come on, Kyle, you can be the first one to light the Advent candle. And then each Sunday we'll light another one, and then on Christmas Day, we come to the one in the middle, the Christ candle. You know how to work one of these?
Yep.
See if it's going to do. Yeah, perfect. You light the first candle.
Which one do I light?
You decide. The candle of hope. Oh, a wee bit more. Wonderful. The candle of hope is lit. Advent has begun. Thank you very, very much. And thank you for reminding me. It's too much to fit into today's service. And now we'll let you go off down to the hall and do your practicing. Hello, I haven't met you before. Okay. Well done. Yes. There's not much space, is there? I don't know why it is, but the children are always so excited at this time of year, and they go out the church and we all kind of go, we should be excited as well. We're going to sing a hymn about hope now. Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy. For those using a hymn book, it's number 166. Robert Allen is now going to come forward and lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, the giver of life and breath and hope, through your power, the whole creation came into being. There was darkness, and you made light. There was chaos, and you brought order. And when there was despair, you sent your Son to bring us light and clarity and hope. Today, with the people of this parish, and with people in every part of the world, we come before you, adding our offering of worship and praise to the offering that rises up constantly from earth to heaven. Help us set aside the cares and concerns of life and bring us an awareness of your presence with us this day. You send light, but many prefer the darkness, for we do not wish to be seen as we are, as we acknowledge our part in the world's shortcomings and conflicts. We are unprofitable servants in your sight, and the light exposes our unclean hands, impure hearts, and selfish motives. For you see us as we really are. We pray that you will heal and forgive us, so that we can welcome the coming of the light and prepare for the celebration of the coming of Jesus with open hands, open hearts, and open motives, so that we can say with sincerity and truthfulness, "Come, Lord Jesus, your world awaits you in the longing of the persecuted for justice, in the longing of the poor for prosperity, in the longing of the privileged for riches greater than wealth, in the longing of our hearts for something better, and in the song of your church, where expectation is ever present. O come, Lord, desire behind our greatest needs. O come, Lord, liberator of humanity. O come, Lord, O come, our Emmanuel. Amen."
Thank you, Robert. And now I think Jean's going to come and read from the Bible for us. The first reading is from Isaiah, the prophet, Isaiah chapter 2 and the first 5 verses. And then our gospel reading, now that we're into a new church year, is from Matthew. But quite oddly, we start at the end of Matthew's gospel. But it's an Advent tradition, so we start with Matthew 24.
The mountain of the Lord. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, was concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream in it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of the Lamb. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word from the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Gospel reading. The day and hour unknown. No one knows that day or hour, or even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Amen.
Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Thank you, Jean. So from hearing Isaiah's vision, we're now going to sing a hymn based on a relatively modern day vision, that of Martin Luther King, hymn 710, I Have a Dream. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Hope. Today is the first Sunday in Advent when we think about hope. And my goodness, this week is a week in which we need hope. A week ago, we lost one of our real stalwarts of our church when Nellie Fraser passed away. And then yesterday, of course, we couldn't help but see on the news of another horrific attack in London and another in Europe. If ever the world needed hope, it's now. Hope springs eternal is an expression that was coined by Alexander Pope way back in the 18th century. And I think it's because it's true that it stood the test of time. Because hope, unlike optimism, is founded in God, who is eternal. Optimism is less firmly rooted, being founded in our own thought processes. The prophet Isaiah brings us hope, especially in today's reading. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." Hope that one day many people, many nations will come together to worship God and learn his ways, to walk in the light of the Lord. And coming is, of course, what Advent actually means. And it's a threefold coming: history, mystery, and majesty. The history of Advent is the Jewish teaching of waiting for the Messiah, which Isaiah was writing about. That history, which many people still didn't accept, that the coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago fulfilled that waiting, that he really is the Messiah. Then the mystery comes in our present day experience of coming to church and preparing our hearts for Christmas, for remembering that unique time in history, the mystery of when Jesus came to earth to live among us. And thirdly, there is the majesty of coming, of the future coming, the parousia, when we believe Jesus will come again, which is what Matthew addresses in his gospel. And nobody knows when that will be. So what do we personally and as a church hope for this Advent? And where do we see signs of hope in this confused and messed up world? My personal hope is for a growth in the prayer life of our church family, and then of the fruit that that will produce as we become a more and more inclusive church. I wonder what you all hope for this Advent. Anybody got any hopes? Stop for a cup of coffee at the end of the service and tell me what you're hoping for. I pray that more of us will use those little prayer booklets that we gave out to pray every day on a different aspect of our church and fill in any answers that we hear from God in the pages at the back, because every single one of us can hear from God. It's not just the minister. And all of us together know far more than any one person knows. So don't forget to hand your booklets back in. And where do we see signs of hope? I think too often the news is full of doom and gloom. So I'd like to share with you a few signs that I've been blessed to either see or read about this week. I received an email from South Lanarkshire Council about period poverty. They're offering grants to any organisation with toilets that are used by the public for supplying free sanitary products for women to bring an end to period poverty. And the hope that I saw in that came in two ways. Firstly, we've been awarded money to set this up, and Karen and Julie have agreed to help me with this. And secondly, when I replied thanking Kenny, a relatively high up person in South Lanarkshire Council, for this wonderful initiative, this was his reply. I can't remember if I made it on a slide, did I? No, I didn't. Maybe I thought I'd better not quote his words on the screen. But he wrote back, "This is a long overdue initiative, but it's a scandal that in the 21st century we are seeing so much poverty and homeless people. Disgraceful." How encouraging that someone in our council has the same opinion as we in the church and as Christ had. And they're prepared to do something about it, putting their money where their mouth is. I also saw real hope in two separate people within our community this week coming to thank me for my prayers, for a situation where they're now seeing these prayers answered. And then further afield, I found a beautiful modern-day example of Isaiah's prophecy, which is now the next slide. "They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." I read about a creative activist called Pedro Reyes in Culiacán, Mexico, in 2008. At that time, Culiacán was the city with the highest rate of gun deaths in the nation. In response to this, Reyes asked people to hand in their guns, and 1,527 guns were handed in for the project he called Palas por Pistolas. All these guns were separated from any dangerous bits in them. Next slide. I think this is them taking out any live cartridges. And then they flattened them with a steam roller. And then they put them into a furnace. And then they used the melted metal to make shovel heads. Next slide. This is the freshly made shovel heads. And they made 1,527 shovel heads. But that wasn't the end of the project, because the 1,527 shovels are being used to plant 1,527 trees. Matter, which was used for death, has been transformed into matter promoting life. Doesn't get much more biblical than that. Real growing hope. And my goodness, how much that is needed at the moment in London, Glasgow, and throughout the world. And I've got one more story of hope from abroad, a different one, this time from Zambia. Now, I know that Kay Gardner came to speak to the Guild recently about her time in Zambia. So there'll be one or two folk in church who have heard about it. And many of you know that I spent 9 weeks there during my training, which I realize is now 13 years ago. Gosh, I feel old. I still keep in touch with Jenny Featherstone, a missionary in Zambia. And actually, I'm hoping to visit her next year. This is an extract of an email from her this week, which really prompted me to go out and visit again. She wrote, "Do you remember the little boy from Play for All who had his hand burnt? Now, Play for All is a project that Jenny set up in Kitwe, or one of the poorer parts of Kitwe, not long after I'd been out there. And it's now run by a Zambian lady called Jane, who Jenny nurtured and trained and encouraged. And a lot of the financial support comes from my home church in Newmacher, because 10 years ago I was leading a group of people out to Zambia to learn about what was out there. Unfortunately, I ended up in hospital, but my friends still went out, and that connection is still there. Jenny goes on, "When I was in Kitwe a couple of weeks ago, I went to the hospital to visit the younger brother of that wee boy, who's called Benison, who was due to have an operation on a swollen jaw and neck. think we've got a picture. Oh yeah, the picture before was Play for All. This is Benison. His mother couldn't be with him as she was not allowed because she had a small baby, but his uncle was there. But today, and that's the day that Jenny was writing the email, I've just been told by Jane that although the operation was successful, he now has swelling on the other side of his neck and has to have another operation. He's still in hospital, and they rang Jane, that's the one who now runs the Zambian lady running Play for All, because the mother was no longer bringing food in for him. Most likely, the family have not got enough at home for themselves, let alone to take into the hospital. Jane reported that the hospitals have stopped giving food now because of the drought, causing a massive increase in the price of mealy meal. So Jenny thanks God that Jane was contacted and she was able to visit, review the situation, start taking food in for little Benison and support him when his family couldn't. Real hope, starting from one little idea, changing the lives of one or two and having a real impact. So as we come together, friends and families during Advent, let's all share the stories of hope that we know about. And as we worship, always remember that hope springs eternal because hope is founded in God. And I'm going to close with a beautiful Advent hope prayer written by Kate McElhaga. Now is the season of hope unfolding, the dark winter season when hope waits to be born. Let us come before God with receptive and willing spirits. May our souls magnify God's name and our spirits rejoice in God our Saviour. Amen. I hope you will now join me as we continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. I love the tradition that we have, certainly for this year, that as we give our offerings, we also receive a prayer. And I'm just going to read today's prayer and then give thanks for the offering because it's so beautiful. Dear God, in this season of Advent, inspire us to be people of hope. Encourage us not to be greedy for material possessions, but for justice and truth. Inflame us with a love for others, which crosses boundaries of race, religion, and nationality. Stir within us an appreciation of the immense beauty of the earth. Be with us, Lord, at this time, that we may be people of hope. And Lord, we ask you to receive these, our offerings, along with our worship, our prayers, and our lives, and use them all to make us better able to be people of hope, to bring hope here in Forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our next hymn, hymn 473, speaks about the Lord's Prayer and what it really means. Let us come before God in prayer on this day, which, as well as being the first day of Advent, is also World AIDS Day, which is why I'm wearing my red ribbon today. Let us pray. Loving, living God, for your coming in Christ among us and for your measureless love of us, we thank you, God. For your total commitment to us, and for your utter faithfulness to us, we thank you, God. For your promise of peace within us, and for your healing of conflict between us, we thank you, God. For your challenge of change set before us, and for your offered guidance to us, we thank you, God. Lord Jesus Christ, you constantly included the excluded, showed compassion to those whom others neglected or shunned, and offered love to the unloved. We affirm that all people are loved by you, welcomed by you, and valued by you. And so today, on World AIDS Day, we pray especially for all infected or affected by HIV and AIDS, for children and young people, for adults and old people, for those who seek to provide spiritual care or health care, for those who allocate resources on behalf of our Church of Scotland. And today we pray both for victims and perpetrators of gun crime, knife crime, and war, for all who give their lives in trying to keep the peace or bring peace, for all who manage to bring hope out of seemingly impossible situations. And we pray today for Christine Fraser, her sister Margaret, brother-in-law Neil, Aunt Chrissy, Christine, and all the family and friends of Nellie, who died last Sunday. And we give our heartfelt thanks for the long, faithful life and witness of Nellie here in Forth. And now, in a time of silence, let us bring before God all those people and situations that we know of who need hope today. Loving God, let hope still be found. Let good work be done. Let the healing ministry of Jesus Christ take shape. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It wouldn't be the beginning of Advent if we didn't sing, O Come, Emmanuel. Because of the structure of today's service, I've kept it to the end. But I think we might have to just, it's almost 12 o'clock, so we might just wait a second. Ah, there we go. That's my alarm going off for 12 o'clock, so please join me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we will sing, O come, Emmanuel. So as we go out into the world, out into the rest of Advent, may the peace of God bring hope to each and every one of us every day, in Jesus' name. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us today and forevermore.